Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome to the first Rachel Zimmerman Show, airing on 104.1 FM KMOX. This is a really exciting change for the station, and I really hope you're enjoying the new signal. Now, of course, 1120 AM is still available, so don't worry. It's not going anywhere. We've just added this wonderful FM signal on top of everything. So this is really, really cool. All right, guys, let's get straight into this week's interview. You already know Alvin Reed from Donnybrook and the St. Louis American. He is a great talker, as we say in radio, and we discuss his career, we discuss the changing media landscape, and we discuss what's next for him. Really hope you enjoy our talk. Here we go. Alvin Reed joins me on the Rachel Zimmerman Show. Thanks for being here, Alvin.
Oh, thank you. Quite a pleasure.
Yeah, you were just saying on the walk up here, this is like the first time we've ever seen each other like outside of, I'm always behind the board, basically,
yes.
When you come into the studio. So
right, so you're like a torso. But I did see you at Donny Bash a year ago.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Donnybrook fan.
Well, we appreciate that.
So it's definitely an honor to have you on the program. I know you're very proud of your Kirkwood roots. You grew up in Kirkwood.
Yes, I did. 1978 graduate of Kirkwood High School. I'm really honored that I was just inducted to the Kirkwood High School Hall of Fame a few weeks back. And I really love the community. I loved going to school there. Now, it helped that my mom taught 30 years in elementary school in Kirkwood. And, from there, I've done a lot of exciting things in my life. But I always look back at, I got a good start in Kirkwood.
Yeah, it's cool that you've ended up back there, because journalism is such a career that could really take you anywhere. Was the goal always to come back to St. Louis?
Absolutely not.
Really?
My journey started with one, as a lot of people know, I didn't go to the University of Missouri. I went to the University of Kansas. Nothing against Missouri. I just wanted to go a little farther away to go to college. So from there, my first newspaper was in Danville, Illinois, and I worked for the Gannett Newspaper Company. And from there, it was to Lansing, Michigan, and then to Little Rock, Arkansas, and then to USA Today Baseball Weekly. These are all Gannett publications. And when we moved back to St. Louis, the idea wasn't necessarily to remain here in St. Louis. The Louisville newspaper had an opening in sports I was kind of interested in. Then the Springfield News Leader had an editor, like a desk editor job also. The idea was to come back, get kind of reestablished. My grandparents' old house was in Kirkwood, and we were going to work on that house, but not necessarily for us to live in.
Okay.
Well, at 38 years old, we had a daughter, and at 40 years old, we had another daughter, and suddenly we weren't moving anymore. Mm-hmm. We were right there in Kirkwood, so that decision was kind of made for us, but it really wasn't part of a plan.
That's an interesting story. Let's back up a little bit and talk about KU.
Okay.
So you studied journalism, obviously. What drew you to journalism, and what made you decide on Kansas?
I thought from the time that really I was, and this is a true story. When I was 11 years old, there was a kid named Jeff Cogan, and Jeff and I played Kirkwood Junior Football League together. And one day we were talking, I guess, and he said, like, I'm going to be a vet. And I said, I'm going to work at a newspaper. Because I really did know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a newspaper man. I wanted to be like one of those guys in the movies, front page and all that. I really wanted to do that. So at a really young age, I decided that that's what I want to do. And that set me on the path to doing it. And I just wanted to be go to a daily newspaper and start my career as a reporter at a daily newspaper. And that made things a little easier because I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
That's really cool. Just like seeing the vibe of that and going like, I want to be that.
Yes. Yes. And I know that that's kind of a, you know, anomaly. I know a lot of people don't find that path. I know a lot of people, maybe their parents steer them in a direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm an attorney, so you're going to be an attorney. I'm an engineer. You're going to be an engineer, that kind of thing. But I just decided that's what I wanted to do.
So when you were at KU, was there a paper there that you worked for?
I worked for the University Daily Kansan. I also, for a brief period, a couple of years, we had an African-American newspaper called the Clarion. Okay. But I worked for the Daily Kansan, and I worked for the football team when I was in college. All right. So because I worked for the football team, that made me kind of an employee of the athletic department. So I couldn't cover football, obviously, because I was working for the team. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't cover basketball, and I couldn't cover any of the revenue generating sports. So one of the things I did was do the club sports, and, you know, wrote stories on rugby team. And at that time there were a rifle team, men and women. And I covered things like that. And then also my beat was buildings and ground. So I got to do the snow story. I think I got a couple of those during my 2 years on the Kansas staff.
What do you love about writing about sports? Like, what draws you to it so much?
Oh, one was that because I had been around it a lot, either playing and not to any high level or anything like that, I already kind of understood what was going on. And so it was easy to have an opinion on things because you knew exactly what was going on. I will also tell you that when I worked for the football team in college, that was just immeasurable in the things that I learned. The late John Hadle, who should be in the NFL Hall of Fame, but it's not, great quarterback in the AFL. He was offensive coordinator and assistant head coach. And for 2 years, I was his like manager. I was every practice, every game, I was right next to him. And I learned so much, not only about football, but about professionalism. Mm-hmm. And how you game plan and how you deal with things. And so that's what I've always liked. Just knew kind of going into it, look, I know what's going on out there. But here's the thing. I wanted to be a news reporter. I wanted to be a news editor. And the first chance I had to move over to that after my first 2 years in Danville, I did that. Then I was business editor in Lansing. Then I was in charge of the bureaus in Arkansas, but I was in Little Rock in the main office and the assistant state editor. Then the job at USA Today, they created USA Today Baseball Weekly. And I said, like, you know, that was one time I reached out and I said, like, look, you guys have sent me all over the country and I've loved every minute of it. I have a request. I would like to be on the staff of that. And that worked out.
Very nice. Yeah, you just touched on something I definitely want to circle back to. I'm talking with Alvin Reed. You know him from the St. Louis American and, of course, Donnybrook. You did mention, you know, you knew sports. That's what you want to write. I mean, is that saying true? Like, you have to write what you know?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think because, like, when I went over to the news side, okay, everything is it's politics and it's this and it's that. Well, I mean, I had to learn some things too. Controversy about a deep well that was being drilled in a town near Danville. There was an industrial explosion at a place called TPAC, and I learned that there are places where they don't make the hot dogs, they make the skin for hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
And that thing blew up one morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning. So you get an education on all kinds of things that you didn't know. I thought I knew a lot about cars, manufacturing, things like that, until I got to Lansing. And I learned the automotive world. And it was not in its heyday anymore, but it was still going strong when I was there. So I learned a lot about that, too. You learn on the fly, as they say in hockey.
Yeah. So how did you end up at the St. Louis American?
Well, okay, I came back, and my first job was with the Regional Commerce and Growth Association. And I was assistant to the president, and then I also worked on Commerce Magazine. I was kind of like the editor of Commerce Magazine. Didn't like it very much. Okay. And it was no fault of anybody's other. It was very, very corporate. Okay. And the magazine itself was basically, we did stories, but they got, you know, they had to be approved by the people who were writing them and all this kind of thing. And I didn't really like it very much. And so that was the only job that I ever like kind of gave notice when I didn't have another job.
Okay.
And, but it was like 3 months before, you know, I was actually going to be finished. And, I ended up getting a job at the St. Louis American, and I was writing and I was editing, and, ended up being there almost 13 years the first time, and I've been back 4 years. I went back in 2021.
What does writing for that paper mean to you?
Like, well, I think that it's a voice in the community that's sorely needed. And I also, when I first came back, you know, there were still four black newspapers operating. Three in St. Louis, East St. Louis Monitor was going strong. We're it now. And so I knew the importance of it back then, and it's very, very important now.
Yeah, it's got to feel, you have to feel a real obligation there just looking at the media landscape, knowing that you're really the only paper doing that.
Yes, and it certainly is an obligation. And but people know this, so this isn't breaking news, but I'm going to step away from the weekly being the kind of editor of the newspaper here at the end of May. I'm still going to write for the website and do some sports and do some other stuff, but just my kind of everyday putting out the paper thing is I'm slowing that down a little bit. I'll be 65 in September, and I'm not retiring, but still going to do Donnybrook and still going to do some other things, and maybe find my way into some radio somewhere.
Okay, yeah, that would be cool. Speaking of slowing down, like when you take that step, I know you're probably really excited for it right now, but do you feel like day two or three you're going to be kind of itching for it and missing it a little bit?
No, because I plan to, you know, stay
still
busy.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not, like I say, I don't know exactly what it's going to be right now, but really for the first time ever, I'm going to be able to maybe take like 2 or 3 weeks off this summer, and we're going to go up to Washington State, and my in-laws have a cabin on a lake up there, and we bought a trailer, a really nice one, that's on their property.
Oh,
already.
Nice.
So it really, I'm looking forward to literally like getting away, and maybe actually, you know, I haven't missed a Donnybrook. When we taped a Donnybrook, you know, there've been some Thursdays where we didn't do a show, like if it falls on 4th of July or, you know, obviously Thanksgiving. But, so I'll probably actually miss a Donnybrook this summer, so I can be gone like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that'll be odd, but I'm looking forward to that for the first time probably since I started this crazy journey when I was 23 years old. I haven't taken 2 straight weeks off.
Well, good for you. That's going to be awesome. When we come back, it's part two of my interview with Al.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Elvin Reed. Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. Part two of my interview with Alvin Reed starts right now. I was going to ask you about Donnybrook because, I am a pretty frequent watcher, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever noticed Alvin take a week off.
I have never taken a week off. And Ray was good for not taking a week off either.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then, you know, Ray ran for office, and so now he's doing some other things. But, yeah, Ray and I were pretty much there every week. And that we needed the money.
And I'm assuming it's also because you really love doing it.
Yes, I do. I do. It's a fantastic way to kind of, because we come out, our newspaper comes out on Thursday morning. Like tomorrow is our production day. And it's like Donnybrook is a good way to end kind of the week.
Yeah.
And Friday is kind of like a new week for me. I know it's kind of odd, you know, but Friday is kind of like the new week for me. And so it's a good way to put that week to bed, talk about everything that happened the previous week, like on Donnybrook, the paper's out, and then we go from there. So it fits a perfect niche kind of.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, besides sports, what are some of your favorite topics to focus on? Like, you pivoted into news and politics, but what in those categories makes you go like, ooh, I can't wait to write this one up?
Well, you know, it's politics kind of changed, and I think everybody knows that. And I was never really a huge political guy,
mm-hmm.
But that used to be a little different when you covered it. You didn't have to. Everybody kind of gets, you know, pigeonholed. You're either this or you're that, no matter how hard you try. And I don't like that very much now. But I'll tell you what. One of the things that, first of all, Gannett really stressed, and then it was a different audience, but the same thing at the St. Louis American, was community interest stories. People from your town doing interesting things, doing well, young people aspiring to do things. And I always, you know, appreciated that. And I still do. I still come across a story where it's like, this is just interesting. This is just cool. Nobody knows about this person. I'm going to write about them. And then you get the reaction, not just from family, from people like, hey, that was a really interesting story. You wrote about that club or that group of people or whatever. So that was really one of the things that I still enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and that I think that people still enjoy reading success stories about people in their community.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts about being in media is being able to give people a boost, like when they mm-hmm. need it, or, you know, just putting extra eyes on a topic. You mentioned politics has changed. I did want to ask you about that. You know, like the political landscape is just so different than it was even in my career. I mean, I hate to bring up Donald Trump, but that's kind of seems to be like the line that kind of everyone noticed a change in 2016.
Yeah.
But do you think it happened before that?
I think it maybe was starting to happen. Maybe we didn't notice it. But I think people who cover politics back in the day, like, had no problem going to the Republican National Convention, the Democratic mm-hmm. National Convention, going to different events, be it Republican, be it Democrat, because they're here covering the story. Suddenly, it became, because of commentary on the radio or something like that, why are you here? You hate my candidate, and yeah. you hate America, and you hate this, and you hate that. And that's both sides. And that was the part where it's like, no, I just write stories. I just go and I write stories. And if you say something and then someone else disagrees with you and we have both those angles in the story, doesn't mean I hate anybody. But somebody decided, like, oh, no, I know what you're about. And so, like, well, rather than argue with that, I would just rather not do it, quite frankly. And luckily, we still have people that are very much into it, and they need to be, but because a lot of us are just so turned off and disgusted by it all that we're just kind of backed away from it.
Do you feel, just from your interactions, that the way you just described, is that the majority of people? Like, hey, I'm just done. I just don't want to keep talking about it. It's just the louder people on the fringes
yes,
that are kind of
yes.
driving
I
this.
I think we're there now.
Yeah.
I do. And I think, like anything else, it's cyclical. And I think that, you know, no matter what happens, it always, you find your way back to some mid-ground. I think we'll get there. I have no idea. I have no idea when.
Yeah,
but I do think we'll get back to some type of civility, because I think if enough people back off, then that wanes the interest.
Mm-hmm. Do you? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to ask if you think the media landscape has changed as much as politics in the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I think the more voices you have, the I think the more less stress there is on those that do have a voice. But because of, you know, radio stations changing and papers getting smaller and all that, it makes it harder to cover all aspects and all angles. So the job is much more difficult now simply because you don't have as many people. And the people like on TV are asked to film their own stuff. And you know, we in a newspaper staff, you don't have as many people on the staff. So you take on copy editing chores as well as other chores and all like things like that. And I could see where, like, you know, it'd be great if we had two people that did nothing but read copy.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the things that get into the paper, not like libelous things, but just misspell or head bust, things like that, wouldn't be there. You know, I think every genre would say, like, it's not like we need 20 people, but gosh, if we had 5 instead of 2,
right,
it would make this whole operation be a lot smoother.
Absolutely. How do you stay so informed and plugged in? You know, I always think of Donnybrook every week. You guys mm-hmm. are coming on and you're discussing issues, and sometimes you'll bring up something I haven't even heard of. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do they know what's going on? Like, how do you keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on?
I think we all still read a lot.
Yeah.
And that is my thing, is that I would not know as much if I relied on television as much and cable TV. I still read. I still read newspapers. I still will go to the Washington Post website. I go to the Post, obviously, Kansas City newspaper. And then when you're at those newspapers online, okay, you'll see a story about something in maybe that city, or they got picked up that, you know, in that area. One of the things that kind of helps me also is that I've lived a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if something happens in Arkansas, like, I know where that is.
Right.
Because of the bureau system. In Michigan, you know, it's called the Mitten, and you point to where you lived on the Mitten, and Lansing is right in the middle, but I could tell you where the other stuff is. And I said, like, oh, what? See what they're talking about there? That's Flint. That's down here on mm-hmm. the Mitten. So that draws your interest. Then you'd be surprised if you do whatever the catastrophe night or whatever it is, just put that in St. Louis and something will pop up and say, like, hey, this person who used to live here or used to work here is involved in this. And that's some of the things. So, like, you know, we may not discuss it on Donnybrook at length, but say, like, hey, did you know that so-and-so is there? Case in point, Ed Martin in Washington, D.C. right now. We all know Ed. You know, Ed's now like this national player and whatnot. Love him, hate him. At least we can say, like, I know Ed.
Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about Donnybrook, mm-hmm. let's talk about your journey there. Like, how did you end up on that show?
Okay. When Martin Dugan, you know, creator of the show, and I was on a show by the late Post-Dispatch columnist Greg Freeman. It was called Mosaic. And I had filmed a couple of those. And I think Martin did appreciate the work that I was doing at the St. Louis American. So one day he said, like, you know, Ray was going to be gone, or somebody was going to be in there, and would you like to be a guest on Donnybrook? And I literally, you know, I was standing there, and I'm sure it was landline at the time, but I'm kind of like, sure, Martin, I will be on Donnybrook. And I was like doing the happy dance. Okay. So I did my first one, and literally my second daughter, Blaine, was like 10 days old.
Mm.
And so whenever anyone asked me, said, when was the first time you were ever on Donnybrook? And I said, like, well, let's see, my youngest daughter is 23. So that means it was 23 years ago in February, because she was born on January 31st. So I can almost remember, like, to the spot. So that was when I was first on. And then I just kind of became the, like, first off the bench alternate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a godsend. And like I said, you know, we're here, these two middle-aged people had little girls, and my wife took some time off work, you know, when they were, you know, small. So, you know, that little stipend from Donnybrook really came in handy. So anytime I was on the show, that smile was that was also happy to be on the show. Like, yeah, I'm great for all the exposure, but it's great, you know, getting a little something extra. So, yeah, that's how it began. And then I've been on every week since January of 2010.
So cool. So cool. Mm. So does your wife ever go like, can't we take a Thursday and like drive up to wherever? Well,
we've done things, but I said I have to be back on Thursday.
Yeah.
We went down to Texas last year to see some relatives, and they have a huge, this like flea market and near Dallas. And we always wanted to go, and we met up with our in-laws, her sister and her husband. And I think we left on a Friday, mm-hmm. and came back like on
Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Got to be back in time for Donnie.
Oh, definitely. I want to say that I got back one time on a Thursday morning, but we weren't driving. We were flying. Mm-hmm. So I knew I would be back. You know, mm-hmm. and it was like not bad weather or anything like that. So, yeah. So I think I've gotten back on a Thursday, but
you always look sharp on Donnybrook. Is it fun, like picking out that week's outfit? I've noticed, like, if it's St. Patrick's Day or something, you'll bust out like the green shoes
something
like that.
I do that, but I got to tell you a story.
Okay.
This is probably about, 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more. Joe Buck was on the second show. Okay. And, where we would interview a guest. And, you know, I had gotten some suits at a tailor place. I'll tell you, it was Joseph A. Bank. And this was about the time that I was, you know, becoming a guy. Look, I got to get some more suits because now I'm going to be on Donnybrook every week. Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, years go by, and I supplement it every now and then, get a suit. And so Joe Buck comes on. He's got this, you know, fly, fresh suit on and Carmen, my wife, said, like, you... Joe Buck was all stylish. You look like Joe Buck's granddad. And I said, like, well, wait, don't you mean his dad? She said, no, you look like his granddad. I immediately said, all right, this whole skinny suit sensation and whatnot, I went and literally bought a bunch of new, like, you know, skinny suits and the newest style and trend. So I did update my wardrobe. But, yes, I like dressing up on Thursday. I like, you know, doing my shirt, tie, mm-hmm. you know, suit combination. And yeah, I try to do my kind of like whatever the holiday is. And Wendy pointed out, right, Valentine's Day, which was the next day, she said, like, I just knew you would have red on. And I looked at myself and I thought to myself, what just happened, Alvin? How did you not remember to wear red? And so that is a I really felt bad. And people pointed out, like, golly, you didn't wear Valentine's
Day. You let us down. We're
used to your know. Outfits. I really did feel like I let people down. And my mom's birthday is Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. So I was just like, oh, my gosh, I blew it. And I really did. I felt like I let the team down. I let the viewers down.
That's too much pressure to put on yourself.
But I'll always remember from now on. Right.
There's one more part to my interview with Alvin Reed. Stick around to KMOX to hear the rest. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Part 3 of my interview with the great Alvin Reed starts right now. Let's talk about Donny Bash a little bit. That's something you guys get to do once a year. Like, what does that mean to you? How is it, like, getting to know the viewers and stuff?
Well, I've done it, you know, you do it over the course of years, and you see some of the same people that come, and that's so great. But to see new faces and to see younger people like yourself, who was there last year, that's also fantastic, too. People who are new to the show. People who are new to the city, and they say, like, I learned a lot about St. Louis from watching this show. Those are the moments that really make it worthwhile. I will tell you that because, you know, there's a reception beforehand, and we have done our little thing down in the green room, and, you know, like, we discuss what we're going to talk about, you know, on the show. You have to have a disagreement, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we map that out. But we do a reception beforehand, come back down, have to, you know, do all the whistles and bells to get introduced and walk out on the stage and do the show. Then, you know, we do it again afterwards, you know, desserts and drinks and all that. But I do tell people, I said, like, it's funny that on that Thursday, it is like I'm going to play a game later that night. And so I really do kind of stay off my feet and don't do very much.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of energy over kind of like a 3-hour period.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun. But it is like at the end of that night, it's kind of like, woo.
Yeah.
A lot of talking.
Yeah.
A lot of visiting.
Yeah. And it's so do you consider yourself more of an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm extrovert.
Okay.
I go out of my way to speak to people. I do. I still speak to strangers. I still just talk to people. You know, there's still people I don't make eye contact with because I, you know,
don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, right. You know, don't get me wrong. It ain't everybody. But no, just like if you're someplace, you're like, wow, that was interesting, wasn't it? And just strike up a conversation. So, yes, I like to talk. People say like, oh, my God, right. Or as my wife might say, like, boy, if you're going to pay Alvin Reed to talk, you're in trouble. So, yeah, extroverted. Absolutely.
So what's it like going from a panelist to the provocateur whenever Charlie's out on the show?
You don't talk as much. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of like you're gauging the time on each subject. You're listening. And so you're basically kind of, you know, the clearinghouse. And I've learned from when I first started doing it that you're not as involved in the conversation. You, like I say, I'll make my opening statement and kind of make one as we go out. But other than that, you're not too much in the debate that's going on between the panelists. Here's another Martin Dugan story, but it was Bill McClellan. Actually, before I was on every week, Bill called me and it was like a Tuesday afternoon. I'll never forget this. I was pulling out of the Sam's like in Crestwood right there in Kirkwood. And the phone rings and I had a cell phone and it was Bill McClellan. I said, Bill. And he said like, hi, Bill, how you doing? He said, oh, fine. Martin's got to get a little like procedure done, non-emergency. No big deal, but he's not going to be able to do the show on Thursday. And we wanted, you know, he wanted me to check with you if you could be on the show. And I said, sure, Bill, you know, and he said, but that's not the only thing. We don't like to like be the provocateur. Would you be the provocateur? And once again, you know, I'm in the car and I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight. And I said, like, sure, Bill, I'll do it. I mean, yeah, I'm, you know, Anne-Marie, Berger, who is the executive, you know, producer and the director, I'm sure she'll get me through it or whatever. So, you know, I hang up my little Nokia cell phone. And the best thing was it was Tuesday afternoon when this happened because I didn't have a lot of time to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday afternoon, we got there really quick because I was really nervous the first time I did it.
I bet. Yeah.
I didn't show. I really didn't. And when I was, you know, done, they said, like, so just, you know, tremendous job or whatever. But I said, like, I was really, really having to, like, Alvin, calm down. And when you've been on TV, you've done this, you just haven't done this role. But it was interesting. And like I said, I'm glad it was only about 48 hours instead of a full week because I would have just completely freaked myself out.
That's cool, though, like meeting that challenge and like even though you are nervous, just being able to get yourself through it.
Yeah.
Just from our conversation and just from knowing you for the years I've known you, it just seems like you're such a curious person and you are down for challenges and you just want to keep learning more.
Yes, absolutely. And I watch all the, you know, the shows I watch I still watch, you know, How the Universe Works and anything that's kind of nature oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it you may already know, but whenever you just see it and see how this all works. As way as physics and as way as geography and geology and all that, I think that has a lot to do with us as people. And so that I'm curious about that.
I think how everything fits together.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is something to that. You know, I've told people, I said, like, when the day does come, I honestly think people do get to heaven. And some of us said, like, I believe in everything, but I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
I do have. Can I ask one question? You know, or whatever. So I always kind of felt like that there is something to, you know, we're spinning at 25,000 miles an hour, and the planet's traveling, and you know everything's moving in the universe and all that. And I think some kind of way that has everything to do with why I'm sitting here, you know, in this chair at this moment. So I'm curious about that. I'm curious about how humanity works, how the earth works, all that stuff.
Very nice.
I never lose sight of that in everyday, I don't want to call it mundane, but just everyday stuff. There's still like a, and I don't mean like higher power kind of thing, but I still think there's something to it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about that.
And do you, I would assume that you take that and kind of focus that in whenever you're beginning to tell a story, like, okay, so how does this fit into everything else?
Or just, you know, especially when you're telling someone else's story, there is something that interested you in it. Now, I know, you know, you're a general assignment reporter at a newspaper, you get assigned to a lot of different things. But the key part is to that, and I've told many young reporters, when you're interviewing somebody, I guarantee you they're going to say something. And in your mind, you're going to say, like, that's the lead of my story right there. Mm-hmm. You just gave me what I needed to frame and hang this entire story off of. Why is that? Because it was something that you were curious about. It was something that they said that you found interesting or funny or insightful. So it does come from inside of you. And that's why you should try to know as much about as many different things as you can, because you'll stumble across something that somebody else says. It's like, oh, I get what they're saying there. They, you know, because what they're saying is, you know, about them or what they're doing or what they're trying to accomplish. But you heard something and said, like, oh, this will be interesting. I can write this in this way.
Let's talk about newspapers a little bit more, just because you've had such a great career in newspapers. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the fact that lots of newspapers are just going to digital only? Mm-hmm. What are we losing when we can't hold that physically in our hands?
A lot. I mean, those of us, that's one of the beauties of what I did and daily newspaper and then the weekly publications I've worked for. At the end of the day or at the end of the week, I can physically hold the product that I helped produce. And there was something about that. My late father was a pressman. He was a four-color pressman. And when they would print a job, they got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did the proof or said, like, we're going to work, or we need to like reduce this color or whatever, and they worked with it. So the final product, some of the things he was most proud of, I tell you, one time they had a national thing to do for a like short batch jelly jars. And he said, they were hard. And he said, like, we were so proud of this. And I've got somewhere, like at my mom's house, I have whole broadsheets of four color separations and things like that. Because those were the jobs that my dad was proud of. But he got to hold it. He got to see it. Same thing with newspaper. You got to hold it. You got to see it. And there's something lost when it's only digital. I don't subscribe to the Post-Dispatch anymore because I was always up. I might go back and do it again if I'm, you know, going to be home a little bit more. Now, I still did. I made sure I read a paper, especially on the East Coast. You just bought one. I probably would. If I still lived on the East Coast, I'd probably buy a paper every day because I'd still like sitting in the floor. I started that as a kid. I would sit down in the middle of the floor and read the paper.
Really?
And we didn't, like, in our living room at the time, we had hardwood floors. And I'd just sit down in the middle of the floor and turn the pages. And I would, you know, I would start a story on the front page, and where the jump page was, I would not start another story until I went to the jump page and read the rest of the story, then go back to the front page. And that's how I like to this day, kind of reading a newspaper.
It's a nice ritual.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it as much anymore, but, but I do, like, you know, the Webster Kirkwood Times, I'll grab one and I'll just sit down and just go through it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you brought up, you know, the things your dad was proud of in his career. What are some of your proudest moments that you can share with us, or just proudest moments in general? Doesn't have to be career-wise.
Oh, I mean, I think one that I, going back to the beginning, that I honestly did do what I wanted to do, and then I, like, succeeded at it. And I thought, you know, sometimes I think to myself, man, very, very few people decide at a very young age what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then not only do it, kind of excel at it and be recognized for it. And I'm really proud of that. My two daughters, okay, Blaine is the youngest. She's getting her master's in engineering. She has her bachelor's in electrical engineering, and she's getting her master's. My oldest daughter is getting her PhD in education at Lindenwood. And they're so much more smart than I was. And they were so much more studious than I was. And I said, somehow, my wife and I were somehow the other said, like, we did all right, but hey, do better. And, you know, really the world will be you guys' oyster. And they did. So we're very, very proud of them. And I just, like I said, the fact that I was able to do journalism from day one and in some fashion, I'm still doing it today. I'm really proud of that. I'm glad I didn't ever switch professions. I'm glad I didn't ever leave this. I'm sure I could have done something else, but I just never wanted to. And so I'm proud of the fact that I never did.
Well, we're happy you stuck with it too, Alvin. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much for coming down. This
Not a problem at all. Anytime, anytime.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. You are listening to 104.1 FM KMOX. This is the first ever Rachel Zimmerman Show airing on that signal, and it is quite exciting. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, 11:20 a.m. isn't going anywhere, but, you know, if you ever get kind of bothered by the static or don't get the best signal driving around listening to AM, try 104.1 FM. It's probably going to work out better for you. It's going to be a clearer signal in the St. Louis area anyway. And then we have that AM signal to go all over the country and continue this tradition that we've had for all these years. So this is really, really cool. I'm stoked about it. I do want to thank Alvin Reed for coming down and doing this interview. He is a great person. I've known him for many years, and it was cool just getting to know him a little bit more. If you missed any part of that conversation, you can podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Guys, it's been a really, really fun show. This is a short little segment at the end here because I went so long with Alvin, but we had a great conversation. And again, catch it on the podcast if you missed any part. And listen to old episodes of the show, too. That would be pretty fun. All right, guys, I will talk to you next week. I've got another great show lined up for you. In the meantime, I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir.
Here'th my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.